Well, I absolutely love that. If you don't love that, come on, something's wrong. Let me start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come this morning celebrating our youth and their path toward being your children and eventually finding themselves in heaven. Father, if there's anything that we can do to remove stumbling blocks or to open doors for young people, let us know what it is and give us the courage and the wisdom to do such. And Father, I ask that whatever the message that you have for us, let it ring true in our ears and let us take this and burn it in our heart and apply it to our lives as we all we do want to do is just walk with your Son. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So walking with Jesus is the actual sermon title. Okay. As we celebrate World Adventure Day, the focus, as we've heard, is walking with Jesus. We celebrate our adventures as they establish a closer relationship with Jesus. And to have this relationship, we must spend time with Jesus. I ask this question: does walking with Jesus mean something different to these young people than it does to us older people? I will argue that both groups could find more similarities than differences. If you understand our youth, you see that they can see this world as a pretty scary, formidable, overwhelming world. There's uncertainty in them as to what is expected, what's going to happen, what must they do? Or, and this is even scarier, our youth may not see the evil that is in this world. What would be the pitfalls if the wrong choices are made? I believe that my advantage and the advantages of the more seasoned souls here, if you will, is that because we've had an opportunity to live life, we've had more experiences that when we've called upon God or saw Jesus interject himself and his will in our life that helped us overcome some of the poor choices that we've made or overcome the hurdles that life has thrown at us. And everyone, whether small or large, has hurdles that the world is going to throw at you. Whether we are, whether we're looking at life for the next day or the next week, generally when you're smaller, you think in those terminologies, or where we go and look for months and even years ahead, our success and failures will be determined by our relationships, our lack of relationships. How we see the world is determined by the light we have around us, and where we go to find this light, well, that's the greatest question of all. In John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Our lives are directly impacted by the light that we allow to shine on us. Our relationships with God and our relationships with Jesus, our willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, directly impacts the quality of life that we have here on earth today. That does not guarantee that we have the nice car or truck, a big home, the exciting friends. What it does mean, though, is that in our walk with Jesus, he allows us and shows us that we can have joy despite the worldly things that we have or have not. When we say walk with Jesus, what does that mean to you when I say walk with Jesus? Moses is a great example of someone who walked with Jesus. We read in Exodus 33:11, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend." Whether you've grown up as a Seventh-day Adventist or new to the faith, whether you've read many or few Sabbath school study guides, no matter where you find your spirituality today, the topic of how to grow in a meaningful relationship with God is crucial. Your relationship with Jesus is the single most important relationship. Do not delay in building a relationship with Him. You know, as a youth, I spent a great deal of my time with friends. It was seldom that I was not with, in some way or another, hanging out with my buddies and my friends. Many hours wasted on video games. Hanging out the ball, checking out the chicks. Sitting at the beach, doing nothing. At least that's what I told my parents I was doing at the beach. I learned a lesson early in life. What is a true friend? You find yourself late at night, broke down on the side of the road. The truck has driven its last mile. You're 20 miles from nowhere. You'll find out who your friend truly is at that time. A true friend will take your call early in the morning. The friend asks, "Where are you?" and begins driving to come and get you. Not giving you the third degree over the phone is about why you're out so late, why you're out in the middle of nowhere. The friend comes and gets you. Then after you're in the car, then the questions will come and you'll need to provide some answers. Jesus is that friend that will answer our call. He will come and get us when we're in need. Not demanding answers now, not wanting to admonish us now, but all He wants is to get us home safe. Later's the time to talk this through concerning our poor choices. All those relationships from many, many years ago that I had, at least most, are gone with time. We can see a few friends that relationships have stuck, but had we spent more time building and allowing Jesus to be in our life, many hurts, disappointments, frustrations would not have been a part of our life and a part of those that love us. The Bible's full of stories where someone had a close relationship with God, with Jesus, and we see how the person impacted so many others around them in such a positive way. With that said, an immediate advantage I see as an adult, opposed to one of our fine youths here today, we may look back and see times that was wasted chasing that which the world offers. We see where close relationship with Jesus gets us through the world troubles, the breakdowns in life. In Patriots and Prophets, page 282, the Lord knew the dangers that surrounded the people, and He would not leave them to walk alone. Sometimes we also feel like we're walking through a desert, like the people of Israel did many, many years ago. What is our desert today? What are our trials today? A new school, a difficult job, feeling lonely, overwhelmed with just the responsibilities of life. How do we begin making a relationship with Jesus? How do we find ourselves walking with Jesus daily? in Steps of Christ, page 93. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as a friend. Prayer is the way that we all, young and old, may begin to have the relationship with Jesus that will grow and mature and place us in a relationship that we may never, ever be alone. How may our adventures, may we, as part of this congregation, walk with Jesus today? We pray every morning and night. We bring our concerns and cares to Jesus. We read or listen to Bible stories. We're kind, even when this is hard, because it's not necessarily in all of our natures to be kind to people. We obey our parents, and as parents, we obey the Lord's direction and how to lead our children on this, in this world. And lastly, we help others and share the love that Jesus has shared with us. If you're walking with Jesus, there should be some fruit that's showing that you're helping others. Question: is your friendship with Jesus helping the world? Does your walk with God positively impact those around you? Moses walked with God, and God used him to bless this world. When you walk with Jesus, he will walk with you as well. You'll bring kindness. You'll show courage. You'll share the light the Lord has shared with you. We must self-assess who we are and what impact we're making on those around us. If we are not showing this kindness, this patience, this courage to those around us, then maybe our walk with Jesus is not what we think it is. And we've allowed the world to confuse us. Scripture reading in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Do you have the light of life around you? I see it in a lot of people in this room. It's hard to bump into somebody and not see that warm, caring glow in them. It's hard to find somebody in this room that doesn't have some sort of ministry in their life. Does your family and friends see your light? Jesus promises us that we will have this light if we have him as a friend. So we need to be beaming. If we're not beaming, we need to be asking questions, why not? Prayer helps us create a relationship with the Lord. It places us in a position that we are able to hear, able to understand, able to accept that which the Lord is saying to us. How much of the world's blessings do we miss because we fail to allow Jesus to be our guide through this world? My family and I, many years ago, took a trip through Grand Canyon. I must say, it is grand, all right. You really can't grasp the awe of the Grand Canyon until you see it firsthand. However, had there not been a guide pointing out all the different rock formations, explaining how people lived in the area years ago, how they had survived, even how the trail itself was built, I would have missed out on some of the most important things about the canyon. We have Jesus as our friend. We too may see the wonders of the world with confidence. I said with confidence. We may travel our world with a better understanding of the who, the what, the where, and the why. this relationship we speak of with Jesus has its immediate rewards, but just as importantly, the long-term rewards are so much greater. We're asked to run the good race. We're asked to stay the course. This race, this staying the course, is a lifelong pursuit of the relationship and friendship with Christ. Ellen White tells us this: a consistent life in Christ is a great miracle. What she's saying is, it really is hard to have a great relationship with Christ, because this world is constantly bombarding you with everything static, all this static, all these things that, all these flashing things that make you want to look at it and lose track of what's priority. The Bible uses the metaphor of a race to describe the lifelong relationship with God. Our spiritual race is a marathon, not a sprint. There may be times we stop running. We may even fall flat on our face. It happens, and when it does, we just get up and keep running. We must stay the course despite the trials and the hardships that inevitably are going to come. However, we don't run this race alone. Jesus promises that he will be there with us. This walk with Jesus we're speaking of is the development of a loving relationship. In 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. How is your relationship with Jesus today? Be honest. Is it more of a one-way relationship? Jesus continually reaching out to you and you're not responding? Do you spend time investing in your relationship with Jesus? Are you taking his calls, or do you have his number blocked? We're told to abide in his love. We find in John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Having a clear understanding of God's character is foundational to having a strong relationship with him. That's why we must spend time with God in prayer, not just asking for things and asking for things to be removed from our life, but spending time listening to God. The greatest prayers of my life are the ones that I didn't have. Just sat there and shut up and listened. Great prayers happen because of that. We may use our Bible and study to better understand God's character. The Bible is our truest and most consistent picture of God, of his Son, and who the Comforter is. From Genesis to Revelation, we read about one true God. We read about how Jesus' want for us to be a part of his family. We understand Jesus' patience toward us. The best friend we may ever have is the Jesus the Bible speaks of. We were made to be close to God. Sin has put a barrier between God and us. Jesus has given us everything to restore our broken relationship with him and his Father. As the world plummets closer and closer to the end, we know that a small black cloud will one day appear in the eastern sky. As it comes closer and closer, we will see that on that cloud sits one like the Son of Man. Jesus will be accompanied by thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels, and every eye will see him. If we have not a relationship with Jesus, if we have not walked with him in our daily lives, this event, this dark cloud, this host of angels will not be a joyful occasion, but a moment of despair. For now, it is too late to invite Jesus into your life. We can know all the symbols that are mentioned in the book of Daniel and Revelation. We may be able to explain the seals and the scrolls spoken of in the Bible. We may be able to recite many Bible verses and name of all the prophets throughout the Bible. However, all of this is of no value, no use to us if we do not have a relationship with Jesus. If being just smart and learned opened the doors of salvation, this church will be filled with just smart people instead of us common folk. Now, some of y'all are real smart, but that's okay. I'm not going to hold that against y'all, you smart people. It is not what you know, but who you know that assures you a place in heaven. It is the relationship that places us where we need to be. There's an old saying, if you wish to travel fast, go alone. If you wish to travel far, take a friend. As I mentioned earlier, life is a marathon, not a sprint. How about a stroll tomorrow? How about we invite Jesus on a walk? I assure you, he will accept your invitation. Amen.